Hollywood Romance. Of conflict and human emotion. Today, a delightful story of fishermen and an ocean treasure. It is written for romance by Charles B. Smith and stars Vic Perrin and Sam Edwards in The Pearl in the Oyster Sandwich.
The train from the Gulf Coast to New Orleans always stopped at a town called Bay St. Louis. And when it did, a man would come walking alongside us selling fried oyster sandwiches. Those oysters would be soft in your mouth, but you had to be careful because sometimes when you'd bite into one, you'd hit something so hard it'd just about splinter your teeth. After you fished it out, you'd see it was a little bit of a pearl. It wasn't worth nothing, not even before it got fried in lard. But you'd feel good about getting it, and you'd put it away in a safe place. That's the way my brother Wiley was with that thing he fished out of the Gulf. Wiley had gotten himself a job over in Henderson Point running a boat for Mr. Dan Cheever. And naturally, I was his deckhand. Well, things went along fine till the day I let a catfish slap his fin into me. Count of that, we made port 4 hours early.
We let everything go till we get your hand looked at.
Okay.
Grab the line, Jonas, and make it fast.
Fast as a beetle, Wiley. Yeah, that'll do it.
Come on, Homer.
Oh. How come you're back this time of day? You get a big catch?
Didn't get no catch.
No? Mr. Chief ain't gonna like it when I tell him that, Wiley. None of his boats are bringing in what they should, but you've been doing worse than any.
We had to come in, Jonas. Homer Lee got finned by a catfish.
Oh, my. Bad?
Went clean through his hand.
You better get it fixed. Catfish can be poisoned.
We know that. You know somebody to take him to?
Well, there's doctors in Gulfport.
We can't afford no doctor.
Well, then how about Miss Dutro, Henry Dutro's wife? You're acquainted with him, ain't you, Wiley?
Some.
She's as good a midwife as you'll find in these parts. Being as her husband's been fishing out of here for longer than I can remember, she should know what to do for Homer Lee.
That'd be all right with you, Homer Lee.
For sure, Wiley.
Where'd she live at, Jonas?
In one of them whitewash cabins, Long Beach, about a half mile down. You just ask anybody, they can tell you.
Now then, boy, just hold your hand steady while I wind this gauze around it.
Yes,
does it still hurt?
No, not too much.
Who are you boys working for here?
Mr. Dan Cheever.
Oh. There now, son. You put some adhesive tape on it and it'll be all through. You letting me keep a fair share of what you catch?
Well, I reckon so, being as how he puts up the boat and all. None of his boats been doing good lately, but we get by.
Yeah, getting by ain't enough when you're young. Hold still, boy. You should find yourselves a job where you could put away a little something now and then.
Yes, and that's what I want to do. I plan someday to have my own boat. When I get it, I'm heading for a place on the Florida coast called John's Pass.
You'll never make it as long as you're one of Cheever's kept slaves. You see to that.
Mama? Mama, you in? Oh.
Well, come in, matey. This is Mr. Wiley Burris and his brother, Homer Lee.
I've met Mr. Burris, Mama.
Oh?
And I've heard plenty about you, Homer Lee.
That's so?
Goodness me, what'd you ever do to yourself?
Oh, nothing much. Just got finned by a catfish.
I'll bet it's awful painful.
Nah, don't hurt at all.
Matey, did you see if your pa's boat was in yet?
I looked, but it's not even in sight.
Probably went out past Cat Island Channel again.
That's very far out, ain't it, Mrs. Dutro?
Yeah, I reckon. But according to him, that's where the fish is. He even claims he saw a whale out there last week. Well, there you are, boy. That ought to take care of it.
Thank you, ma'am.
You bring him back if it don't look like it's healing right, Mr. Burris.
Yes, ma'am, I will. And thanks again, Mrs. Dutro.
You're welcome.
Come on, Homer. Afternoon, Miss Matey.
Afternoon, Mr. Burris.
Matey, when did you meet that young man?
Last month, right after I got home from convent school. He's at the carnival same night I went.
How come you never said nothing to your pa or me about meeting up with him?
I don't know, Ma. I didn't think it was important.
Don't lie to me, gal.
Oh.
Saw the way you looked at him.
Oh. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with him, is there?
He's starving poor. Pawn me, don't want you getting mixed up with poor folks. You keep away from him, hear me?
Yes, Ma, I hear.
Had planned on going down to the beach that night to mend a hole that had got tore in one of the nets. But my hand was hurting so, Wiley had to go alone. But he wasn't alone for long.
Wiley? Wiley, Burris? Wiley?
Wiley, what's the matter with you? Didn't you hear me?
I heard. But I kept quiet because I like the way you call my name, maybe. Matey, Dutro, your mama know you're out here with nothing on but that...
It's a kimono.
Flimsiest looking thing I ever saw. She know where you're at?
No. What if she did?
Now, if you was my daughter, I sure wouldn't want you out on a beach at night like that with a man who feels about you the way I do.
Wiley, she told me not to see you again.
Oh? Now, why'd she do that?
Because you ain't got nothing? Because you're poor?
I see. Well, I reckon you better get on back up to your cabin. I got work to do.
It didn't mean nothing to me, her saying that, Wiley. I'm old enough to do what I want.
Not according to law, you ain't.
Oh, the law's silly. I'll be 17 in August.
Maybe. I ain't arguing with you, but that's not the point. The point is, we can't let your folks get mad at us now. If we did, we'd never get their permission. Now, why don't you run on home and let me finish up here?
You really want me to leave?
I do. And when you see your mama, you tell her I ain't always going to be poor. I'm going to get me a boat of my own.
I know you will, Wiley.
Well, what are you standing there for? Go on.
Let me stay just a little, please.
I'm sorry, maybe. I got to get this net mend.
I'm not going to let you do it, Wiley.
Oh? How are you figuring on stopping me?
Come here. There's nobody but us on the whole beach. Almost feels like there's nobody but us in the world.
Maybe.
Now, don't you talk anymore, Mr. Burris.
Well, from that night on, Wiley wasn't the same. To begin with, he got me out of bed at 2 o'clock the next morning instead of 4, like always. And by 6, we were out beyond the Cat Island Channel. Out in blue water where we started dropping our nets. 4 hours later, we had us a load of croakers, speckled trout, and Spanish mackerel like I never seen before. So we headed home.
How's the hand, boy?
I guess it's fine, Wiley. I ain't thought about it.
Catch like this makes a man forget his troubles, don't it?
Yeah, sure does.
What's the matter?
I don't know. Take a look. See if I can spot anything wrong. Now, it could be the feed line. I'll pull it out. Hand me the pliers. Homer Lee, the pliers.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah. What's the matter with you?
Nothing. I was just watching those gulls. It's you worrying something out there.
Now, they'll be worrying something here if we don't get this motor started.
Wiley?
Yeah?
Those gulls found something funny.
Well, how do you mean funny?
Well, I don't know exactly. But unless it's a shark or a porpoise that's been dead in the water a long time, I don't know what it is. Take a look.
In a minute. That got it. Now, where's this thing at?
Right below where those gulls are circling. Just under the water. You see it?
Yeah. Looks like a big blob of lard. Grease, maybe. I'm going to get it aboard.
Aboard? For what?
Because it said so, and break out a tarp to wrap it in. Come on, boy, move. Well, it was about 60 pounds of the messiest-looking stuff you ever did see. And it didn't smell too good, either. But we got it aboard and started for home with every one of them silly birds following along behind. When we got up to the pier, we could see Jonas and Mr. Henry Dutro watching us. Island.
Hey, you, Bert.
What you say, Mr. Dutro?
I want to talk to you, Bert.
I'm glad to hear it, Mr. Dutro. I'll be right up.
Now you stay here, boy, and don't you open your mouth about what's under that tarp, you hear?
I hear, Wiley.
I'll give your little brother a hand, Wiley.
Okay. Yes, sir, Mr. Dutro.
What I got to say ain't gonna take but a minute. But you listen good, because you'll never get no chance to hear it again.
Mr. Dutro, you don't need to show me that gun. I'll listen.
Burris, Ms. Dutro and me, we want our girl back.
You mean maybe?
You know I do. What other girl I got?
Well, Well, how you mean you want her back?
Last night when she come in from seeing you on the beach, her mama was awake. This morning while we was talking to her about going back to convent school, she ran off.
She did? Well, you know where she went?
That's why I'm here, Burris. She's locked herself in your cabin.
In my cabin?
Yes. The only reason I didn't force your door and get out was because of Ms. Dutro. She didn't want everybody on the point knowing our troubles. But I'm going to walk up there with you right now. And you're going to open that door and
Wiley!
Then I'm...
Wiley!
Wiley!
Come on, me, boy! Wiley! You're not expecting to look what's got on the top.
Excuse me, Mr. Dutro.
Wiley! Get your hand over me, don't you get hurt.
Leave them be, Homer.
What are you going under that top? You don't want me to see you, Wiley.
It's my own property, Jonas.
Oh? Well, if that's the truth, you got no cause to stop me from looking at it, have you? Now move aside, boy.
I'm warning you, Jonas. Get away from that top.
It ain't your top and it ain't your boat. You got no call telling me what I can and can't do, and I'm going to look.
Stop it, Wiley.
I told you, Jonas.
No, Wiley, don't throw me over. No!
Now let's get this stuff out of here, boy. Come on.
Mr. Dutro, but if you're coming with us, you better hurry.
It was a good 3/4 of a mile from the pier to our cabin, and if it had been just me, I'd have run all the way. As it was, we couldn't go too fast on account of Wiley having to carry that stuff he had wrapped in that tarpaulin. He hadn't let on to me once what he thought it could be. But from the way he was risking his job and maybe even a tangle with the sheriff, I knew he thought it was something special. By the time we were nearing our cabin, Mr. Dutro had cooled down and had begun eyeing that tarp same as Jonas had.
Burris, what you got in there?
I ain't just sure what it is, Mr. Dutro. I'm going to take somebody who's been working these waters longer than I have to tell.
Could be I might know.
That's what I figured.
You want to tell me what it looks like?
It's hard to say exactly. The nearest thing to it would be a big blob of jelly.
Smells?
Strong.
Heard you tell Jonas you're out beyond Cat Island Channel. That where you found it?
Yes, sir.
I was out that way a week ago, beside the whale.
I remember Mrs. Dutro speaking about it.
Hold up a moment. I don't hold nothing against you personally.
I'm glad to hear that, Mr. Dutro.
No, I ain't so old that I can't remember back to when I was your age. Young man like yourself, you can't always be held to blame for the way a crazy female acts. Even if it does happen to be my own daughter.
She's a mighty fine girl, Mr. Dutro.
Well, she thinks highly of you too, Burris.
I'm sure glad to hear that.
Yes. Of course, we took pains in raising her. Spent a lot of time and money so she'd grow up proper enough to marry a man with financial means. You know, a man wouldn't mind helping me in my old age, or maybe before need be. You don't see nothing wrong in that, though.
No, sir. A man's got to look after himself.
Yeah, that's right. Man's given so much property on this earth. When he gets something that can bring in an extra value, like a dollar, well, he's got to watch out. He don't make a bad marriage for her. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
And it's protecting her, too, you know. Take a girl like Meaty. She wouldn't be happy living like... Well, living with somebody who didn't have their own boat, say?
No, sir, I don't reckon she would.
No. Burris, you suppose what you found is ambergris?
I'm sure hoping it is.
Now, ambergris comes from a whale, and I saw a whale. of wrist looks like jelly, and you say... How much you say you got of it, son?
He's like about 60 pounds.
Man, that'd make you a rich man for sure.
You mean somebody buy that stuff?
Buy it? Why, they sure would. It's rare, boy. Used to hold a scent in perfumery.
Well, how much you figure we could get for it, Mr. Dutrow?
Well, if it's what we think it is, I figure maybe as much as $10,000,
$11,000. $10,000?
Yes, but before we go getting all excited, we better make sure it's a real thing.
Well, you know how we can do that?
Yeah, let's cut a hunk off it. We can take it out into Gulfport to Doc Peters. Now, if he can't tell us, we'll have to go to New Orleans.
Well, that sounds good to me. Loan me your knife, Homer.
Here you go.
You choke this on up to the cabin and don't let nobody in. You hear?
I hear.
Wiley, Burris.
Oh, come on, Wiley, come on. Gulfport bus is due at the crossing right now.
Okay.
Wiley.
Mr. Dutrow, ain't you forgetting something?
What's that?
Your daughter, Mady.
Oh, well, Homer can tell her.
Tell her what, Mr. Dutrow?
To get on home before I really do get mad. And tell her this stuff is what we think it is. She can marry your brother anytime she wants.
I told her. And she lit up bright as the lights over the new Bijou Theater. Well, by 10 o'clock, Wiley still hadn't come back, and being as it had been such a long day, I began to get sleepy. I was just about to doze off when I heard somebody coming. Wiley?
That's right, boy.
Now, don't waste no time getting back, Wiley. You too, Homer.
Back?
That's right. We're taking off. We're getting out of here.
But why?
Because we're through working for Mr. Cheever. We really got us something. Now, ain't that right, Mr. Dutrow?
That's right. Sure have got yourself something.
You mean it really was Amagris? Yes!
Now, you boys, hurry it up. I'll go get Mady ready.
Well, come on, Homer Lee.
We taking everything?
We ain't coming back.
Now, who's that?
I sure wouldn't know.
Wiley, got somebody here wants to see you, Wiley.
It's Jonas.
Well, let him in.
Evening, little brother Burris. Evening, Wiley.
Howdy, Mr. Cheever. We got the sheriff parked up on the road just in case we need him, Wiley. You won't.
Yeah, you two are fixing to take off, Wiley.
Mady Dutrow and me is getting married.
Oh? Well, now that's sure a surprise. I always figured old man Dutrow was aiming for her to marry somebody who could help him out.
That's what he was always saying.
You ain't got no money, have you, Wiley?
According to the way him and Dutrow is carrying on in town tonight, Mr. Cheever, he's got something worth considerable money.
Yes, that's what I hear. Found some ambergris out in Cat Island Channel, didn't you, Wiley?
You talk to Doc Peters, Jonas.
No need to. The way you and Dutrow was yelling and carrying on all of them down Main Street, it wasn't very smart of you, Wiley.
Wiley, I don't see how you could have forgotten our agreement. But it sure looks to me like you did, so I'll read it to you to refresh your memory. Dan Cheever will receive 85% of all fish, shellfish, and other fish products brought to port in his boat, the Little Bell, run by Wiley Burris, acting for Mr. Cheever. The remaining 15% will be Burris' salary. Now, that's our agreement, Wiley.
Now, you be smart and hand that stuff over, Wiley.
Well, it don't look like I got a choice, does it?
Not with the sheriff up on the road, it don't.
When do I get my percent of what it's worth, Mr. Cheever?
Why, when I get it valued.
Should run high. They were yelling in town about it being worth $10,000.
Mr. Cheever, me and Mady Dutrow was sort of planning on leaving here tonight.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, if I had enough cash on hand, well, I'd pay you off right now, but I ain't got it.
Well, you suppose you could make me a trade?
What kind of trade?
Well, I'll let you keep my share of that stuff if you let me take the Little Bell.
Wiley, that boat ain't worth more than $500 or $600.
As is?
Yes, sir, as is.
You got yourself a deal, boy. You come up to my house with me right now and I'll sign the papers.
Yes, sir.
But Wiley...
Get our stuff on down to the pier. I'll be there directly, Homer.
Okay, Wiley, whatever you say.
Homer?
Who's that?
It's me, Matey.
Where's Wiley at, boy?
Oh, he went up to Mr. Cheever's house. Mr. Cheever took the ambergris, and he's giving Wiley the little bell for his share.
No, no.
Well, I don't see how it's funny, Mr. Dutrow.
You don't, boy?
No, sir.
Well, then let me tell you, it wasn't ambergris.
What?
No, Doc Peters gave it every test. And when we found out, we felt bad about it till we saw that sneaky Jonas following us around town to see what we was up to. That's when we decided to find out just how greedy old Dan Cheever really is.
But, Mr. Dutrow, all that stuff you set up at the cabin about our really having something.
Play acting, boy, play acting. That Jonas and his boss, Greedy Cheever, were coming down the beach right behind us.
Oh. But, Mr. Dutrow?
What now, boy?
If it ain't ambergris, and Wiley knows it ain't, and he's still letting Mr. Cheever give him the little bell for that stuff, ain't Wiley cheating him?
You can't cheat a cheater, boy. You remember what I say now. You can't cheat somebody that's trying to cheat you.
Eddie!
We're here, Wiley!
Now get on down the boat, boy, and start storing your stuff aboard so we can all get out of here before Cheever learns he's been took.
I guess I'm not very bright because it was just before we got to John's Pass over in Florida that I figured out what Mr. Dutrow meant by saying you can't cheat somebody that's trying to cheat you. You see, Mr. Cheever never had no right to any of that stuff, even if it had been ambergris. Because his agreement with Wiley was for fish and fish products. And the whale, it ain't no cold-blooded fish. The whale's a mammal. Warm, like, well, like Matey and my brother, Wiley Burris.
Romance is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis. Today's story was written by Charles B. Smith. Vic Perrin and Sam Edwards starred in The Pearl in the Oyster Sandwich. Others in the cast were Parley Bear, Virginia Gregg, Eleanor Tannen, Will Wright, and Barney Phillips. Musical supervision by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cubberly, inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. Of the Sacred Symphony by Heinrich Schütz, featuring the distinguished Italo-Hungarian soprano Magda Laszlo, is yours to enjoy tomorrow when World Music Festivals comes your way over most of these same stations. For another exciting highlight from the world-famous Ojai Festival in Ventura County, California, hear World Music Festivals tomorrow. Stay tuned for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.